You're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9 FM, WTGZ Tuskegee Auburn, and AM 620 WTRP LaGrange. Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome, Auburn, into this Thursday edition of Sports Call, live on Tiger 95.9, the Tiger.fm, and the Tiger Communications app. My name is Ryan Lavoie, the host of the show. I am solo on this Thursday afternoon. It is a shortened edition of the show, getting off air right around 4 o'clock today. Got Beauregard High School baseball coming up against Eufaula, an area matchup, a potential doubleheader that is coming up around 4:20 or 4:30 today. So I'm only going till 4, and I am solo. We'll talk about a couple different things today on the show, including the mix-up in the SEC in terms of basketball head coaching, as Eric Musselman is on his way to Southern Cal. I'll talk a little bit about that in just a few moments. Talk about Auburn baseball after the win last night in Birmingham against UAB. And at 3:30 today, we'll talk to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. He will talk about the latest on the Auburn basketball roster. Also, a preview of A-Day coming up Saturday inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. We'll try to get the birthdays and sports as well here in just this one-hour program. If you do want to give me a call today, you can do that on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line at 334-887-3401 locally or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. However, again, it is just me in the studio, so if you call, it has to be during a commercial break, or else no one will be able to answer. So that is the only caveat there. I will not be able to answer while I'm live on the show. So I can take phone calls during the breaks. And again, 3:30 on that Orthopedic Clinic phone line, we will have Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer on. Begin today's show by talking a little bit about that Auburn baseball team. Again, a big series coming up in Plainsman Park against the Tennessee Volunteers this weekend. But first, there was business to attend to in Birmingham last night against the UAB Blazers. That game was originally scheduled for Tuesday night, but had some of the projected severe weather in the area, and so was not able to play that as scheduled, but still got to it last night. And it was a bit concerning for the Tigers for a little while, as Auburn did come out with a 2-0 lead, but UAB would quickly answer in the bottom of the first and then take a 4-2 lead after three innings. It was not until the sixth until former UAB first baseman Christian Hall hit an opposite field home run to make it 4-3. And then a 7-run frame for the Auburn Tigers to take the lead and not relinquish it, winning 10-4. Had a big Bobby Barrels home run. And then again, the merry-go-round continued after that, as Auburn able to win 10-4, much of the same of what we've seen from this offense. This offense continues to impress. They put up the 10 spot after having games of 7, 8, and 9 runs in College Station. So we continue to see that this team really, in my opinion, has the lineup that it needs to have to compete in this league. However, still got to see the pitching. And when we go to the series this weekend against Tennessee, we preview that a little bit more on the show tomorrow. It's about trying to limit another powerful SEC lineup that Tennessee specializes in the home run department, and Auburn baseball has just not gotten what they've needed from the starters. We've mentioned the numbers to you already this week, but again, Chase Alsup and Joseph Gonzalez, who were supposed to be your two front-end guys, your workhorses, ERA's in the 7s this year. And we asked Lindsey Crosby a little bit about that yesterday. And at this point, you're just hoping for better results. They've worked on what they could. They've been very intentional with Joseph Gonzalez. They sat him down for a week earlier this season as they continue to work on things. So got to pitch better with, again, continued tough opponents in SEC play to follow. So Auburn gets an important win against UAB. Those midweek wins are the type of wins that keep you from having a complete disaster resume-wise. Auburn 17-11 overall in the year. Typically, you do look at SEC records when it comes to seeding for the NCAA tournament, when it comes to making the tournament in general. And certainly, if you don't even qualify for the SEC tournament, you're going to end up not making the NCAA tournament. But for Auburn so far this year, with the 1-8 mark, obviously they would not be qualifying for any postseason. But the last thing they want to do is start to get hot in the SEC and then start dropping their midweeks and really not make the progress they need to make record-wise as they stay above 500 overall, but look to have a much better back two-thirds of SEC play. So, again, that starts with Tennessee coming up this weekend, a number four team, but a home series. And again, I would be of the opinion, similar to what Lindsey Crosby was yesterday, that Auburn's about to be in the territory where they can't drop any more series. Now, maybe you can still forgive it against Tennessee being a top five opponent, but being at home, you got to kind of take care of home series even against really good teams. And we've seen some really good teams drop series in SEC play because the league's so deep. So Auburn needs to get on it. Again, they do avoid a potential disappointment in the midweek last night against UAB with that 10-4 win, but going to be very interesting to see how the pitching does relate and translate to another tough opponent, another tough hitting opponent in the SEC. Also last night, the Auburn batted ball sports. Auburn softball getting an 8-0 win against Samford. It was, I believe, the fourth perfect game in program history. It was a 5-inning game, but Auburn was able to have no problem with Samford on the softball side of things. Of course, they just played Tennessee on the softball side of things at home this past weekend, lost the first two, was able to grab the third at Jane B. Moore Field. And ironically, their record is 17-11. They got a tie in there too, but same record as the baseball team, just with one extra conference series in the book, 3-9 in SEC play so far for the Auburn softball team. But they were able to get a perfect game last night. It was a combined perfect game. They pitched Maddie Pinta, Annabelle Weidra, and Shelby Lowe. So Auburn was able to, again, have a successful midweek game there on the softball side of things as well. When you look at what's ahead for the Tigers in the softball form, again, they have a reprieve from SEC play this weekend. They will be at home at Jane B. Moore Field, but they'll have some non-conference opponents, usually pretty decent non-conference opponents. Got two with Louisiana Tech, two with Georgia Tech. So not necessarily gimmies this weekend, but certainly need them if Auburn softball is going to end up making the NCAA tournament either, because, again, similar situation there with the start to their season, with the inability to win any SEC series thus far. Again, you play a few less conference games, so they're halfway through their conference slate. So really need to take care of some of these games. Again, Georgia Tech, not great, but they're okay. Louisiana Tech sometimes has some decent teams in the smaller conference side of things softball-wise, but will be an important series for the softball team this weekend, important tournament, I should say, against Louisiana Tech and against Georgia Tech. Again, I am solo today, so we're going to go ahead and go to our first break. Again, if you'd like to give us a call, now is the time to do so, now that we are heading to a commercial break and I can't answer the phone lines. So we'll head to our first break. On the other side of this break, we'll get to birthdays and sports. Also tell you about Eric Musselman. And then coming up at 3:30 today, Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer will join me here on the Thursday edition of the program. Again, just 1 hour today, so get your phone calls in now. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Want to know how easy it is to listen to our show? All you have to do with your Amazon smart device is say, Alexa, play Sports Call Auburn. Now, back to the multi-time Abby Award-winning Sports Call.
Welcome back to Sports Call here on Tiger 95.9, the Tiger.fm, and the Tiger Communications app. Ryan LaVoy here with you solo today on this Thursday afternoon. And coming up in about 15 minutes, Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer will join us to talk all things Auburn basketball roster and Auburn football ahead of A-Day on Saturday. Again, getting off air at 4 o'clock today, so a short edition of Sports Call on this Thursday. Let's go ahead and get to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line now, 334-887-3401 locally or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. First up on the program this afternoon,
James from Montgomery.
James is with us. James, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. I'm War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Yeah, I know that you're we're talking about the Auburn A-Day game that's going to be coming up this weekend. And after the A-Day game, it's already said and done, and we're looking at the 2024 Auburn football season. Do you think that Auburn might have a huge chance of making it to the national championship this year?
Yeah, I do not expect to see Auburn near the national championship game this year. I think they're still very much needing more of a rebuild. I think that they need to focus on just an improvement from last year's team, which I do think that they will ultimately get. But no, I do not think Auburn will be in national championship contention this year.
So if we're not going to be the national championship in the national championship contender, do you see that Alabama might make another run this year for the national championship or no?
I think they could be a playoff team. I don't know if I would project them to win the title. I think that there will be three or four teams at least kind of ahead of them in the pecking order. But they have retained some important pieces this offseason, and I think that they've still they understand Kalen DeBoer had a pretty quick build at Washington there. Of course, he had Michael Penix, but I know that Jalen Milroe will be looking to do more things this year. He already had a pretty good season, pretty good recovery last season. And I mean, they did go to the playoff after all still. So I think that they will still be good. I would not peg them as championship favorites, but I do think that they can make the playoff.
Yes, because I'm actually going to be looking at their A-Day game sometime real soon. And I'm going to be actually studying their playbook because I know that I'm going to be looking at them very closely because I'm actually seeing them going to be playing some games this coming up fall. But the game that I'm actually looking at Alabama, I'm looking at Georgia because I know Georgia with Kirby Smart, I know he's going to look like a national championship team. And I'm thinking that Georgia Bulldogs will make it to another national championship this year under Kirby Smart as well.
Yeah, I absolutely think Georgia will be one of the favorites. I think that Texas is going to have a great shot at it this year, being a playoff team from last year, getting Quinn Ewers back. Going to be fascinating to see them in the SEC this year. I think Ohio State, with what they did in the transfer portal, was very relevant. They got a couple of key pieces, including Caleb Downs off of Alabama in the defensive backfield. So I do think Georgia's a great place to start when you're looking at championship favorites, but I do think there's three or four teams there that are all going to be on pretty equal footing heading into 2024.
Yeah, it's because when the actual season for the fall football season for college, I'm looking at like some different teams that are going to be switching, like from Texas. Texas is going to be coming to the SEC in a couple of years from now. Oklahoma will be coming to the SEC, and there's other teams that might make the merger from their standpoint to come to the SEC, probably like down the line in 2027, 2028 as well, because I think the SEC needs more teams that are going to be coming into the SEC Southeastern Conference franchise as well.
Yeah, well, Texas and Oklahoma will be here this year. Their first year in the SEC will be in the fall of 2024. So that date has arrived for them. And, yeah, there is conference shakeup all over the place. A lot of, obviously, with the Pac-12 not being a thing anymore. There's a lot of teams joining the Big Ten, a few joining the Big 12 out of the Pac-12, and then even a couple headed to the ACC. So all the other four major conferences will be adding new members this fall.
Yeah, because when Texas and Oklahoma comes to the SEC, what about, do you see any changes with their network programming? Do you think that the Texas Longhorns program network is going to actually stay in the program schedule, or do you think that they're going to move to the SEC network as well?
Yeah, I think that the Longhorn Network will continue on. I believe it's owned in part by ESPN, so I think the Longhorn Network will continue in 2024. I'm sure that ESPN's not going to be wanting to put the major sports on Longhorn Network. They're going to want them to put them on their linear ESPN properties. But to my knowledge, Longhorn Network will still be active next year.
Yeah, because when I actually look at like some highlights from like 2012, 2013, 2014, these are like games that Texas already played, and they're always showing like, you know, games that were being played like last couple of seasons ago. But I want to see like this year's games, this year's highlights instead of last year's highlights from Texas. I want to see this year's Texas Longhorns when they actually play an actual game for this year as well, when the football season for college starts this year.
Yeah, you know, I've never really watched much Longhorn Network. I imagine that trying to fill 24 hours of programming, you're going to have to go back in the vault a little ways and show some older stuff. Mm-hmm. But of course, you do want to try to keep it recent, too, and just try to mix it all up. So, I'm sure that programming will kind of continue along the same lines in the next few years. What else is on your mind today?
Well, I'm actually looking in on the NBA in-game tournament. And I'm looking at like Joel Embiid and seeing how he's going to do for the New York the Knicks, and seeing how they're going to actually play, because they do play today. So I'm actually trying to put them in the NBA Finals tournament. So when that time comes, when the NBA Finals starts in June, I'm actually looking at them probably being like a one or two seed as well. So I'm just going to see how the New York Knicks will look with Joel Embiid as well.
Well, remember, Joel Embiid is a Philadelphia 76er. It's Julius Randle that has been a New York Knick, and it was announced today he will be out for the year. He's not going to come back. But Joel Embiid for the 76ers did just come back in the previous game. Right now they're sitting in eighth place in the standings, so it looks like they will end up in the NBA play-in tournament prior to the postseason here in just about a week or week and a half. But Philadelphia, very important that it got him back. They had really slipped in the standings, and really it's just a race behind Boston in the East. It's kind of a jumbled mess, 2 through 8 or so, but Boston has lapped the field with already 60 wins on the year. They're going to be the one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yes, because I think with Joel Embiid and the 76ers, I think they're really looking like the team that might take down the Boston Celtics, but I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, because the Boston Celtics, they look like the Boston Celtics, and I think that they're actually going to win the NBA Finals this year as well, because I did have them playing in the NBA Finals last couple of NBA Finals, and I actually want to see like a huge matchup between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics as well. But I've been hearing a lot of rumors talking about like LeBron James actually moving from the Los Angeles Lakers to come to Dallas to play with the Dallas Mavericks and teaming up with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. But I mean, for me as a Dallas Mavericks fan that's been with that team since, I mean, it could happen. It really could happen, because I know, if Mark Cuban actually gives the green light to LeBron James, I think he's really going to look good in a Dallas uniform as well.
Yeah, you know, I have not seen much of those rumors, but I know that this year in Los Angeles has been very interesting. They've have a decent record. They've just not been able to move up the standings whatsoever. And obviously LeBron does not have much more time left. He does have a player option this offseason to return to the Lakers that he could exercise. But we're definitely here in the last couple of years, last few years of LeBron's career. So it will be interesting to see if he tries to take one last shot somewhere else or if he's content to retire in L.A. We're about to get to our guest, Justin Ferguson, in just a moment, James. So go ahead and give us our final thoughts today.
Well, the only final thoughts I'm actually going to say is that I would like to see, you know, I know y'all are going to be talking with, I know you're going to be talking with Justin Ferguson. I know he covers a lot of Atlanta Braves baseball news, but I just want to see how the Braves are going to stand up, you know, before their big game that's going to be coming up this coming up weekend as well.
Yeah, he does cover Braves from time to time. We're going to talk to him more about Auburn things, but yeah, he does like the Braves, and the Braves are got the day off today before their home opener tomorrow, so very excited to see them back at Truist Park.
All right, sounds good, and I'll talk to you all about Atlanta Braves baseball tomorrow as well.
Sounds good. War Eagle, James.
All right, War Eagle.
That is James from Montgomery joining us on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. As mentioned, we've got Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer coming up next. So we're going to go ahead and head to our next timeout. We'll talk to Ferg about Auburn basketball after the news of Chad Baker Mazar returning and the news of Trey Donaldson entering the portal. We'll also talk about Auburn A-Day coming up Saturday inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Sports Call is on the air weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m.
If you are currently driving in a four-door sedan, roll up the windows and turn up the radio.
We're Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Now back to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome back to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9, the Tiger.fm, and the Tiger Communications app. Ryan Lavoy with you here for this shortened edition of the program on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. As we head to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line now, where we welcome on Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer for our weekly chat. Ferg, as always, we certainly appreciate the time. How are things in your world today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. So let's first get to basketball before we get to A-Day. A couple of roster decisions being made in recent days for Auburn. Let's start with someone that is hitting the portal in the form of Trey Donaldson. How surprising, if surprising, it was. And what does this mean for what Auburn is now looking for portal-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think this was not a surprise that Auburn is losing, you know, a point guard in the transfer portal. But it's, you know, probably more of a surprise that, you know, who it ended up being. I thought it was going to be either one of Trey Donaldson or Aiden Holloway would more than likely be gone, just because, you know, it was hard to play both of those guys for, you know, the full season. Like that was, Bruce Pearl talked about how tough it was to, you know, play those guys kind of equal minutes to get in the flow. And then on top of that, we've seen Auburn go after guys in the transfer portal who are point guards. J.P. Pegues, the Furman transfer, was in for a visit this week. I mean, that's a big guy that they wanted to go get. And so if that's the case, you find it harder to believe that Auburn would be able to find, you know, minutes for everybody. And look, I mean, this is just college basketball. This is just what college sports is right now. If you're not going to be a starter, you have the opportunity to go somewhere else to go be a starter. There's 360-something, you know, D1 basketball teams. There's always going to be an opportunity, and you have that freedom of movement. So, you know, like I said, I felt like one of Auburn's point guards is probably going to be on the way out with the way Auburn was recruiting other point guards. We know that Tahad Pettiford is likely going to, you know, play off the ball, as Bruce Pearl said last week, as he told us. But, you know, he's got the ability to play some point guard as well. So Auburn's kind of getting set there. I think Trey Donaldson had two great years at Auburn. You know, he was a really, really talented player. You know, just probably wasn't going to be a starter next season. He just, you know, that just didn't look like where things were trending. And so with that in mind, he's going to have an opportunity probably to go start somewhere, play some more minutes. And you know, I think it's just a sign of what this day and age in college basketball is. I don't think there's any hard feelings. I don't think there's, you know, anything, you know, tough about it. I think it's kind of like with Auburn losing Katie Johnson, the transfer portal. These are good players you'd like to have, but, you know, opportunities could be plentiful, more plentiful elsewhere. And so I think that's what Trey's going to end up doing.
With this decision for Trey leaving, do you think that it impacts the decision of Aiden Holloway at all?
It might. I mean, I do think it's going to be interesting to see. Like, I think if Auburn goes and gets another point guard in the portal, which I think they're trying to do with a guy like the Geese, or, you know, they've targeted some others, you know, here in the portal over the last couple of weeks. You know, I think Aiden Holloway is a guy that can play off the bench for you, and he can play a variety of roles. He doesn't have to be kind of that lead dog necessarily. I don't think Trey, I mean, I think Trey could have adapted to that as well. So, you know, I do think it, like I said, it was going to be tough for both of those guys to come back and get minutes. I think it's a little bit easier to try to find with one, knowing that you do have Pettiford back, you do have Denver Jones, back as well. You know, I think it does have an impact. You know, if Aiden Holloway says, hey, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else and try to be a starter next season, I wouldn't be completely shocked. But I do think, you know, the fact that you've already got one point guard going out might be a little bit easier for you know, him to kind of stay in and, you know, maybe find a role of some kind for this team next year. Because I do think Aiden Holloway can give you some value next season without necessarily being, you know, kind of the alpha. And you know, I think it could end up, you know, helping him a lot, maybe kind of ease the pressure off of him, let him kind of get back to what he's, you know, what he did best in high school.
And then not too long after the Trey Donaldson decision, we saw the decision of Chad Baker-Mazzara to return to Auburn. Obviously, there's expected to be a good core of guys coming back to this team next year, but Chad Baker-Mazzara figures to have a pretty big role next year. What do you foresee that role being?
Yeah, I think he's going to end up being one of Auburn's best players. You know, you look at this season, he was their number three guy, and you go back to the Yale game, you know, the fact that he gets ejected early changes everything about how that game ended up looking for Auburn, and played a big role in the reason why they lost and they were upset, you know, in that matchup. But I think Chad last season, you know, was a guy that really started to come on as a reliable scorer. I think if you're in a scenario next season where you don't have Jenai Broome, like, you know, if Jenai goes pro, you don't have Jalen Williams, you're going to need him to kind of pick up some more of that scoring, you know, scoring load. I think him and Denver Jones are two guys that you look at and say, hey, you were starters, you were great players this season, did a lot for you, but what does it look like in year two in SEC ball? You've played a lot of basketball already. I think both of those guys are going to be guys that can step up and have pretty good second seasons at Auburn. But, yeah, I'm expecting him to carry more of the workload and be a guy that I think, you know, what happened in the Yale game is going to, I think, motivate him moving forward. And you see, he's a guy that feels like, you know, he made a really big mistake. He's owned up to it. But he's also going to come out and say, hey, I gotta make up for it. I got to be better next season. And, you know, I think he's got a great attitude. He's obviously a fan favorite, and I think he's got a game that translates really, really well to this league. I'm interested to see what he looks like now he's got a year under his belt at this level.
And then before we head to A-Day on Saturday, one more basketball for you with Jenai Broome, and obviously the decision that I think a lot of Auburn fans will be waiting for. Last year he took his time in the process. Do you expect that to kind of be the same timeline this year?
I don't think so, just because I think I don't think Auburn's going to necessarily kind of, you know, pressure him into thinking it's the end of being like, hey, we need you to make a decision right now. But I do think that, you know, when we heard from Bruce Pearl last week, he says he just wanted the sooner the better for everybody involved, I think. So if Jenai Broome hears enough and says, hey, I'm going to go ahead and go pro and I'm just going to stick to it, you know, I think that'd be good. The kind of in and out thing that they did, in or out thing they did last year, you know, if he went pro and there was an option for him to come back, I think Auburn would you know, take it for sure. But they got a plan for the future. And if, you know, there's any sort of possibility that he's not back next season, you know, as it looks like, they need to go ahead and, you know, plan for the future, which is, still bringing in another center, bringing in another big man in general. I think you're going to have to do that anyway with Jalen Williams out. And, you know, what does that mean for Dylan Carwell? What does that mean for the guys that Auburn's getting in the transfer portal? Like that, all of that, I think, is going to be pretty key there. So I don't think it's going to go as long as it did last year. I do think it's going to be a little bit more obvious, you know, which way he wants to go, whether it's stay or go. And I think that's, you know, I think that's something that's going to kind of animate the rest of this offseason for Auburn basketball. They've reached out to some bigs in the portal. Not a ton, though. It's been mostly guards because I think they want to leave that door open.
So turning our attention to football now, Ferg, with A-Day coming up on Saturday. Now, we know that every coach can operate differently. Sometimes it's different from year to year. So just kind of give us the rundown of what Hugh Freeze said is going to be even the format on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be 4 10-minute quarters, and, you know, it's going to be the same as last season. Put 27 points on the board for the defense and tell the offense, hey, you want to win? You know, outscore them by the end of the game. And so it will be offense versus defense. So it's not any of like, hey, this guy, you know, did well for the first string offense and then he's having to play some of the second. No, it's just if you're on the offense, you're treating it like the offense. If you're on defense, you're treating it like, you know, you're the defense. And, you know, if the defense gets a scoop and score, pick six, that counts to their stats as well. So I think it'll move quick. Looks like the weather is not going to be bad this weekend. I know that really limited them last year into what they were able to do in terms of A-Day. But yeah, I think it's going to be a pure offense versus defense game. And that's just kind of been the thing we've heard and seen here this spring for Auburn's practices. It's a lot of offense versus defense, good on good kind of stuff. And you know, guys really competing, going back and forth. You'll hear offense does well one day, defense counters back the next practice. They've both had their, you know, had their good days and days where they wanted to get revenge. So I think that's going to make for a pretty good A-Day game on Saturday.
We know that Freeze and company are going to kind of change back the terminology of this offense and maybe open it back up to more RPOs. Is that something you would expect to go ahead and see implemented in this scrimmage on Saturday? And if so, what are you looking for out of Peyton Thorne with making those decisions?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see a ton of radical differences, but I do think you are going to see some, you know, it is going to be kind of more of an RPO game. It is going to be kind of more of, you know, what they did at Ole Miss, what they did at Liberty, you know, what this staff did. You have to think Derek Nix and a lot of these guys have been around Freeze for a while. And so, yeah, you're going to see a lot of RPO stuff. And the fun thing about an RPO, especially in a spring game format, you don't want to, you know, show off too much, right? You don't want to show your hand, especially in something that's going to be televised. With an RPO, though, you know, you can call a set, you can call an RPO play, and it can go several different ways out of just the base stuff. So it may be kind of vanilla, kind of straightforward, you know, in terms of design, but it's about what the defense does, right? It's reading and reacting. And so for Peyton Thorne, I think that's going to be the thing for him. And the thing for this spring for Peyton has been, you know, he's done a good job this spring. And they've talked about the improvement he's made. When we watch practice, he has clearly been the best quarterback out there. And I think it's got to do with his experience, right? You know, you talk about decision-making. You know, what do you do when the bullets start flying? You know, how do you handle, you know, all that kind of action out there? The guy who's been in college for 5 or 6 years is probably going to have a better grasp on that than these younger guys. And I think you've seen that with Peyton Thorne. Now, does he need to throw the ball better this season? Absolutely. Does he need to be better against quality competition? Yes, that's the biggest question facing Auburn this year and the biggest thing that held him back last season. But when you're talking about practice, when you're talking about, you know, showing improvement, when you're going against your own guys and you're still several months away from actually playing football that matters, I do think Peyton Thorne has looked better in that area, that experience, that familiarity, the fact that he's actually getting to go through a spring this year, that's helped him out. So, you know, I do think if it ends up looking anything like we've seen in spring practices, I think Auburn fans are going to see, you know, it just feel different and maybe look different with Peyton Thorne at quarterback than some of these other guys. And not to take anything away from Holden Garner and Hank Brown and Walker White, because I think all those guys, you know, talented players, they're just going to need some more time, I think. And, you know, Peyton Thorne has used his experience to his advantage, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does that on Saturday.
And then I think, Ferg, that it would be safe to deduce that Auburn is definitely going to be comfortable trying to add a couple more players maybe in the portal up front on the offensive or defensive line. So with that in mind, what interests you about the line of scrimmage on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of who steps up on the defensive line and looks like a guy who can, you know, be a go-to player for him next season. I mean, this defensive line in particular has got some question marks on it for sure. You lost Marcus Harris. You lost Justin Rogers. So who's going to step up there? The interior. You picked up Gage Keys and Troy Carter out of the portal. They've had good springs. It's be a debut for them. I know they'll be excited to get out there. You know, when you look at a guy like, what do you do with a guy like, Jason Jones? What does he do, this upcoming year? What is some of these young guys? What do they look like in the trenches? Bobby Jamison Travis, players like Malik Blockton, newcomers, had a good, spring practice. So those are guys you want to see, like, who's going to be reliable? Who's going to show that they can belong in this rotation? Because I think that's going to impact, what Auburn does in the portal. I think your edge rushers, you're feeling a little better about them. Your defensive end, so you've got, Calvert Falk, and you've got, you've got Calvert Falk, and you've got Zeke Walker, and you've got a number of guys who kind of move in and out there as well. And at Buck, you've got, Jalen McLeod and a ton of kids, and the kids are really good. Amaris Williams, has been excellent this year. Jamonte Waller has been great in camp. So I think fans are going to be excited to see those guys kind of play. But that interior, that defensive line, it just needs more dudes. It needs, some reinforcement. So which one of these guys is going to step up and say, hey, even if we bring dudes in the summer to come in and help us out, I deserve a spot on this rotation. So that's what I'm looking forward to from there. And then the offensive line, I feel like we kind of know what Auburn's going to do on the offensive line in terms of who's going to start or who the favorites are to start. So far, I'm looking for the next wave. I'm looking to see who can separate themselves and be like, hey, if there's an injury this season or if there's some sort of absence that they've got, who can shuffle in? Who's going to be that sixth, seventh, eighth man on the offensive line? So, I think spring game is going to be good for those guys in that regard as well.
He's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. Ferg, what can we find at the Auburn Observer as we near A-Day?
Yeah, so we got to watch like 2 hours of practice earlier this week. So I got a lot of observations up on that. Today I wrote the 10 players that I thought had the biggest jump in their stock during spring practices. So you can read that tomorrow. Be a busy day. We got a mailbag coming out, and we'll have a podcast episode talking A-Day, talking basketball, talking some other stuff as well related to Auburn. So we'll be there A-Day this weekend. It'll be a busy weekend. And, yeah, we're still running a special. It's $5 a month to sign up right now through the end of this weekend. So it's a great time to hop on board. AuburnObserver.com. Whole lot of football, whole lot of men's basketball. And we email everything out to you as soon as it drops, whether it's a newsletter or a podcast. So great time to sign up. We'll have a ton of stuff here over these next several weeks as we get into the offseason.
He is Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. As always, Justin, we certainly appreciate the time, and we look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, thank you, man.
That is Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. We're going to go ahead and head to our last timeout of the show today. Again, getting off air at 4 o'clock for Beauregard High School Baseball. I'll come back to wrap up the show right after this.
To the show, send us your thoughts via email.
You've got mail.
sportscall@thetiger.fm.
This is Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Sports Call on Tiger 95.9. My name is Ryan LaVoy, riding solo here on this Thursday afternoon. This shortened edition of Sports Call, only got about 5 minutes or so left on this Thursday. as Borgard High School Baseball, big area matchup against Eufaula coming up just prior to 4:30 or so airtime. So going to go ahead and get off air here at 4 o'clock. My thanks to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer for joining us on the other side of that break. And if you missed that, go back and check it out on the Sports Call podcast presented by Coca-Cola, available wherever you may get your podcast. But with the time I have remaining, again, would want to talk a little bit about the Eric Musselman news. If you have not heard, the now former Arkansas head coach on his way to USC, to Southern California, to be their next head basketball coach. Of course, Andy Enfield, who had been their head coach, left for SMU amid some job security issues at Southern Cal. He taking what is now going to still be a major conference job at SMU as they head to the ACC. So that opened the door for Eric Musselman. He does have some California experience, but in the NBA, he coached the Golden State Warriors for 2 years in the early 2000s, and then in the mid-2000s spent a year with the Sacramento Kings. Obviously was also, prior to Arkansas, kind of out that way. He coached Nevada for several years and led them to the NCAA tournament. So he is on his way to USC, and this opens what is truly a really good basketball job. Arkansas won a national championship in the 1990s under Nolan Richardson. They then returned to the national title game the year after that. They've gone to 6 Final Fours in their program history. Eric Musselman took them to 2 Elite Eights just a few years ago. So I know they struggled this year, but that's going to be a very interesting job opening to watch, and one that I speculate might be filled by some SEC flavor, whether currently or former. Keep an eye on Chris Beard, who spent this year at Ole Miss. He was at Texas and Texas Tech prior to that. Of course, took Texas Tech to a national title game in 2019 when they lost to Virginia, and then got the Texas job, was fired amidst some improper behavior, and was rehired to another job here this past year at Ole Miss. And so we're going to see if he is a candidate. I also would keep an eye on Will Wade. Will Wade spent this year at McNeese State, 30-game winner. They were a trendy pick to upset somebody in the round of 64, but got thumped pretty good, and therefore no tournament victories, but still a 30-win team was McNeese this year. And so Will Wade, it's a matter of if not, or a matter of when, not if, for Will Wade to return to a major job. And he is still a very young guy. I think he's 41 still. He has had success everywhere he's been at, dating back to his time at VCU prior to LSU. And I could see this being the right fit, returning to the league, kind of getting a step up. LSU basketball historically ain't bad, but and like I said, Arkansas has maybe a little bit more history than most realize. And so I could definitely see his side of things being interested. Will Arkansas want that? I mean, either way, they're kind of going after someone with some sort of history, some sort of past, if it's Chris Beard or if it's Will Wade. But both guys have been very successful in their pretty young tenures in major college basketball. And so I would not be surprised if it's either one of those names, but time will tell. And again, if it is Chris Beard, well, then another SEC job opens, and we'll have a whole nother thing to evaluate there with the head coaching openings. But again, Eric Musselman leaving Arkansas for 5 seasons on his way to Southern Cal, the Big Ten Southern California Trojans. And that leaves that job opening for Arkansas. We'll see how quickly they're able to move. The transfer portal obviously in full swing. Guys all over the place. Arkansas has already had a couple guys go in the portal. Maybe their players were aware that something was going on. And in fact, I think Arkansas in general is aware something was going on. And if you are on social media, you might have seen that their athletic director, Hunter Yurchek, posted a video about a week ago after SMU ironically hired Andy Enfield, because Musselman was linked to that job. They posted a video of Yurchek getting on a bus with Eric Musselman driving it, and Yurchek saying, "You're still here?" And then Musselman just turning and driving the bus. As cute as that is no longer the reality for the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's going to do it for this shortened edition of Sports Call on this Thursday. We'll be back with a full 3-hour program tomorrow. We'll preview Auburn A-Day. We'll preview the Final Four. talk a little bit about the Braves home opener and the series with Auburn and Tennessee on the baseball diamond. So check that out tomorrow for the full 3 hours. Certainly appreciate everyone for tuning in today. And my thanks to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer for joining the program today as well. Reminder, Borgard High School baseball coming up in just a few minutes, so stay tuned to that. Again, my thanks for listening into this Thursday edition of the program. Have a great Thursday night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.